I'd like to speak into your hearing today from the Word of God out of 2 Timothy chapter 2. We'll begin reading at verse number 1. Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Thou, therefore, endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. One of the most obvious things in the Christian journey, Philip, that we understand in a hurry is that it's not easy to serve the Lord. We find out that there's problems, Alan, everywhere we turn. Something can happen. Now, here's what we cannot forget. A lost person that doesn't go to church has a roof that leaks. A saved person that goes to church has a roof that leaks. A lost person's car can break down and drop a transmission. A saved person can have a car break down and drop a transmission. A lost person can get a bad report from the doctor. A saved person can get a bad report from the doctor. A lost person can go to the nursing home. A saved person can go to the nursing home. A lost person can go to the cemetery and bury a loved one. And a saved person can go to the cemetery and bury a loved one. According to the Scriptures, what makes the difference is our faith. We've been talking about faith. We've been putting the prayer pictures on our board for the month of June, praying in faith for our families. This week at camp, our children talked about faith. They studied about faith and the power of faith and what it does. Lee just sang about faith. I can have two people, one saved, one unsaved, and they face the same type problem. But the difference is when I walk through my valley or my circumstance or my heartache or my problem, I have my faith. I have a God that is a very present help in the time of trouble. It's not something I imagine. It's not something that I worked up emotionally to just have a good, warm, fuzzy feeling. I've got the reality that my Bible is the inerrant, infallible, holy, inspired Word of God, and that is the rock that I build upon. And to have the right kind of home and the right kind of life and the right kind of marriage and the right kind of family and friends, you've got to have a foundation stone, a solid rock. And that's what we build upon with our faith. And when it talks about committing that faith here in 2 Timothy chapter 2, and it says in verse number 2, these things that you've heard among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men. Dr. Day, you spent your whole life training men to train men. You spent your whole life teaching what God has shown you in the hours that you spent in the study, investing your life, your health, your energy, in so that preachers and ministers and missionaries could be equipped to go preach the gospel, committing it. But Zach, while you were there last week, you had younger faithful men because you had children. And I got to thinking about that. You know, that verse of Scripture is a committal. And when do we start the training? When did Timothy start his training program? When was he hearing the truth to establish his faith? It was while he was a child. And one of the things that we covered last week with the children about faith was that it's easy to talk faith. It's easy to say, I have faith. But sometimes it's difficult to make the commitment to live by faith. Boy, can we all relate to that? Amen. It's easy for me to feel spiritual on Sunday. It's not too easy on Monday. Sometimes it's difficult. I feel really encouraged, Sharon, when I'm here at church and I'm with all my friends and everybody loves the Lord and we're all happy serving the Lord. But you get out and away from this and let the problems of life come and let the circumstances come and the things that knock the breath out of you and break your heart. And you know what you'll find? You'll find your faith will fracture and your faith will be weakened. You won't lose it, but you'll go through that battle. We talked at the children's camp about Tightrope Tim. And he was a talented fellow. He was very athletic. And one of the things that he could do was he could put a cable across Niagara Falls. And he had the ability to take a balance beam. And he could walk right across that Niagara Falls. And, you know, and the most dangerous part is transferring that foot one in front of the other, because that's when you're off balance. And he would balance that. And so the crowds began to hear about Tightrope Tim and how good he was. And they'd get on each side and they'd cheer. And do you believe Tim can walk the tightrope? Yeah. Do you believe he can take the balance beam and make it even when it's windy? And yeah, he can do it. And so he kept practicing and he got to the point where he could take a wheelbarrow. And they took the rubber tire off and left just the spoke and the hub. And then it would lay on the cable and he would, instead of a balance beam, he'd take that wheelbarrow across Niagara Falls. And so the crowds were together. Do you believe that Tim can go across the tightrope? Yeah. Do you believe he can do the balance beam? Yes, you. Do you believe he can roll a wheelbarrow? Yes. Will anybody get in the wheelbarrow? There was no faith in that audience. And you know what God's trying to get me to do? He's trying to get you to do. He's trying to get me out of Ralph and get me in the wheelbarrow. And that's the place that I need to go. That's the place that you need to go. And it's a family of faith that God can take us and we can see the Lord working with us. And it's hard to have faith. It's especially hard when there's obstacles in your life, when there's things that have been like a hurricane of circumstances. And you know what I've, over the years of pastoring, you know what I've discovered? I've discovered that when a family or an individual goes through a hard place, they usually just don't go through one. They'll be almost back to back two or three things to knock the wind out of them, or that they'll get discouraged and give up. They'll get out of church, or they'll say, I've messed up so bad I can't even go back in the building. And you know what? That's the lies of the devil. The whirlwind, the tornado, and the hurricane. And you know what? We can rebuild. We can have faith after the storm. And we can have God bring us out of the rubble. One of the things that we've been privileged to do as a church family is we've been able to help a lot of people in crisis and circumstances and things that are almost unbelievable unless you're standing there looking at the devastation from a storm or a tornado or families and whole communities losing their workplace. And you see that. But when that's over, when the storm is over and the shock is over, there's the process of building back. I've got to build back my community. We've got to put the water back in. We've got to put the lights back on. We've got to rebuild the police department and the fire department. And you've been on a lot of these scenes with us. You've volunteered. You've helped. And it's hard to imagine that was a home. It's hard to imagine that was a business. It's hard to imagine that someone lived in there. And in a matter of a few minutes, everything, their world's gone. And you know what everyone says in that time? Everyone says the one thing they're trying to scramble to find are pictures. Isn't that interesting? Family pictures. They're so precious, and yet they're so fragile. Rain, the wind, a fire can take away. Why are those pictures important? Because it represents your family and your faith of being together. I belong to someone. You know why I love coming to church? I belong to someone. Hey, I belong to Jesus and I'm a part of His family, and I feel that love. I feel that warmth coming in with God's people. I experience that. And that's the comfort and security of a strong earthly family, is that support. And you know that when those things happen, it's unbelievable. I have here when we were down in Florida at Lady Lake, and this is what was left of the Church of God there. And they presented this to some of the men. I think Brother Darrell brought this brick back. And they presented this to some of the men as a reminder that we would pray for them as they rebuilt. We're in a beautiful building. We're here today serving the Lord. But what if this was your building? A pile of rubble. You see, it's just the grace of God that this is not our church. And they wrote up on there, Lady Lake Church of God, 2007. Because here we were down there helping them out of the rubble. And you know what God will allow you to do along life's journey? When someone's hurting and you've been blessed, God will allow you to help pick them up. It may be nothing more but a prayer, maybe nothing more but a word of encouragement, but it means a lot. And you know, the devil, he doesn't stop with devastating your world or your circumstances. He goes after your faith. This is all that's left of a Bible. This is all that's left of a Bible. This is from Hurricane Isabel. And this is from the coast of North Carolina. This is Swan Quarters. And that was all that's left. That was the storm of 2003 in those few pages. And I thought it was interesting, a few pages of Romans and a few pages of Acts. And there we were working, and the people there, the family, said that's all that's left of their home. That was all that was left, that little memory of a Bible that belonged inside the family. You see, these storms come and they're powerful and they're devastating. And they come against you and they come against me. Sometimes it's the loss of a job. Sometimes it's sickness. Sometimes it's the death of a loved one. Sometimes it's a son or a daughter out in the world. Sometimes we're seeing today an absolute epidemic because of the world and the time that we're living in. A battle of depression and anxiety and panic attacks. Any number of storms can send you sinking and spinning into your circumstance. Unable to cope. You can't understand what God's doing. And here's what the question you start asking, David, why me? Why am I going through this? I'm trying to do right. Why? Has the rug been pulled out from under me? Why me? Why me? We ask those questions, and you're unable to compute the purpose of God. What good, what glory could God get out of my body being racked by pain? What good, what glory could God get out of my world being turned upside down? Isn't that a human, natural question? What good, what glory could God get out of my heart being broken? How's that going to help anything? But you know what? God's got a plan, and God has purpose, and God has design, and God has order. And if He asks you to walk a path, if He asks you to go down that trail, I promise you, while you're walking your tightrope, you're going to feel His hands of grace and mercy holding you up. It won't be your strength, it'll be His strength. It won't be your way, it'll be His way. It won't be your solution, it'll be His solution. It won't be your power, but it'll be His power. And that's why we've got to have the power of God's Word. That solid rock, that foundation, that is the element that God has given to us. That we must focus on the unsinkable. We must focus on the unshakable. We must focus on the Word of God. That is my foundation. That is my strength. That is my hope. That is my what? Sanity. My sanity. For the day and hour that I'm living in is the inerrant, infallible Word of God. That's the hope we have. That's the solution that we have. And if I'm going to get in a storm shelter, Musette and I were talking the other day, we were watching the tornadoes out west, and she said, if I lived out there, I'd have one of those storm shelters. And I said, if I lived out there, I'd move. But then that's the way you feel. I mean, but if you lived there, you would have to have a storm shelter, right? But listen, this is your storm shelter. That's why the devil doesn't want you to read the Bible. That's why the devil tries to rob you from time. And I talked with a precious fellow the other day, and he said, I want to read the Bible. But he said, you know, my reading skills aren't very strong. Well, that's okay. We just went and got him the Bible on CD so he could listen to it. Amen. And you can download it on your iPad. You can download it on your iPod. You can download it on any dot will do. I don't know where you want to load it. But I tell you what, you can find the Word of God. And that's the answer for this day and hour, is that Word of God. I've had two men of our church this week talk to them about the ministry that Kent has developed there, that Heritage Radio, and us being able to go over to Ralph Sexton Ministries and then go to that Heritage Radio site and to be able 24 hours a day, when you can't sleep in the middle of the night or driving down the road, that you can get on there and you can hear preaching of the Word of God. That is our help. That is our sanity. I just received a text from the video room in the back, and the Messers, we were here in church with them Sunday, and that precious family, and they're on the way to go work with the Navajo Indians and moving their family and the kids and making the preacher aggravated at all of them. Well, moving out there to love on the American Indians. And, you know, you love good families. You don't want them to leave, but you're so proud of them. You're so thankful they're serving the Lord. And they just text the back. And guess what? They're going through Oklahoma. And they're at church with us on their mobile device, watching on the satellite. Isn't that amazing, the technology? 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And when we're live here in the auditorium, and there they are, driving down the interstate. What would that be going through Oklahoma? Would that still be 40 running down through there? And if you see a 40 sign, Messers, it means turn around. Okay. But there they are, and they're able to worship with us. And what are we doing? We're growing in faith. We're seeing the Word of God come alive. And that's our foundation. That's our faith. And that is our hope for this day and hour that we're in. And don't forget, if I'm going to have healing, and if I'm going to have renewing, and if I'm going to have rebuilding in my heart, my family, my faith, I've got to take the emotion out of it. I cannot serve God. I cannot minister on my emotions. I can't think it's about me. It's all about Him. And God has to help me. And so it's one step at a time, one day at a time. I'm going to claim the... Verse number 7, casting all your cares. Now listen, I love to study, I love to preach, but I have a problem with that verse. You know why? Because I'll cast about half of them on the Lord, or three-fourths of them on the Lord. I got some pet problems I need to handle. God's really busy. He's running the whole universe. And you do the same thing. That verse says, casting, what's that next word? Say it with me, what's that next word? Why can't I do that? Casting all, and I'll hold back two or three favorite problems to worry about. And you do too. And that's what He's trying to teach us, He's trying to help us. Casting all your cares upon Him. For what reason? Why would I do that? For He careth for you. Boy, if you don't have 1 Peter 5:7 highlighted in your Bible, you need to mark it. You need to highlight it. And drop down to verse number 10 in that same passage. It says, but the God of, there it is again, what? All grace. A-L-L. I looked up that word all in the Greek, Dr. Day, and I found out it meant all. It means everything. There's no mystery there, is there? And casting all your care upon Him. How can I do that? Verse 10, because the God of All grace. How much grace? All grace. But does he have grace for this problem? Yes, he does. But you don't know what I'm going through. Well, but God does. And you can walk through that because of the grace of God delivering you today. There does have to be some determination on my part. There's got to be some dedication on my part. Did I start out this time of study together by saying that it's not easy? That we've got to take care of each other, encourage each other? Does the Bible not warn us that we should not grow what? Weary in what? Why? Because it's easy to get weary with the world that we're in. In case you haven't noticed, and you've been real busy in the garden this week, the world just checked out. It lost its mind. The world is not even the world anymore. I mean, you can't figure it. The leader's out, the country's out, everybody. They're in chaos. And I believe it's what I talked about 2 weeks ago in that message, the spirit of confusion. I believe God's starting the judgment of the last days by the spirit of confusion. Because when you leave God out, that confusion comes on the land. And you're seeing that. You're seeing that. But you cannot grow weary. You cannot give up. You cannot give out. You cannot give in. You got to keep going for the Lord. Stephen Bradbury of Australia, he hasn't always been known for his expertise on ice as an ice skater and a competitor. In 1994, Bradbury cut his leg in the World Cup skating competition. You know, those ice skates are razor sharp, cutting through there. And he got his feet tangled up, and he literally took one skate and ripped the other leg 111 stitches, cut an artery, almost bled to death in the competition. Just a horrible injury. And so he got repaired, got fixed up, and tried to get back into world-class skating competition. And just a few years after that, he was skating again, and he was staging a comeback. And you know what? He crashed. Got had another accident, but this time, instead of going feet first into the accident, he lost his balance and pitched into the board around the ice arena and broke his neck. And the doctors, after several months in the hospital, they told him and they said, you know what? Said, your skating days are over. And Stephen, if you ever skate again, you'll do it at the risk of one fall. You'll be paralyzed. You'll be paralyzed for life because of the repair work we've done. You know, in 2004, we had the Winter Olympics. Where was it? Salt Lake, Utah, 2004. And Stephen Bradbury from Australia, he still was the fastest skater in Australia. He got on one of the teams, even though he's crippled up, injured up, broken up. And he's not really world-class competition there, but he's going to give it an effort. He's going to try. And he got there. And you know what happened? In his final race there, he had made it to the final round. And there were five people, first place, second place, third place, fourth and fifth, the top five skaters. And he was skating. And guess what? He was dead last. He wasn't even close. And just as the first skater was getting ready to cross the finish line to win the gold medal, he got tangled up, tripped, fell into number two. Two fell into three. Three fell into four. And Stephen, he won the gold medal. And the reason he won the gold medal, everybody else is on the ground. He wasn't the best skater in the world, but he didn't quit. You get the message? Hey, you can't quit. You can't give up. You can't give in. Don't allow the devil the pleasure of hearing you say, I quit. Don't you be a quitter. Listen, you stay in there. You serve the Lord. We can rebuild. We can have help. We can have healing. And we can have God repair all of these things, the rubble of our lives, and these things that would take our breath and keep us down. I wrote down seven things quickly I want to give you that you can use to start that process of rebuilding. Number one, how is your relationship with God right now? How is your relationship with God right now? the key to repair, the key to help, the key to coming out of the circumstance is for God to help you with having the right kind of attitude. And so, what is your relationship with God? Do you, it's easy to say, I want to serve the Lord, but somebody's got to get it in the wheelbarrow. And that's where we're going to find the relationship. Will I give it all to the Lord? Number two, what have you read in the Bible in the past week that has spoken to your heart? What have you read in the Bible in the past week? You say, well, Brother Ralph, I'm in this crisis right now. My world's upside down. I'm covered up. I'm really busy. Yeah, but what have you read in the Bible this week? Oh, well, do you understand? We're not going to come out of the crisis. We're not going to come out of the rubble. We're not going to repair our homes, our lives, until we read the Word of God. You say, well, I can't read it that well. Listen, get you some CDs. We have it dramatized on DVDs. If your equipment's a little backdated, we even got it on cassette tape. And if you're with the horse and buggy, we've got it on 8-track. Amen. But you get the Word. Get that book. Make it come alive. Number three, where do you find yourself resisting the Lord in your life? You know, I told you my own truthful confession. I sometimes don't give God all my cares. And sometimes we don't give God everything. We hold on to some things. And it may be something big, it may be something small. But if God's spoken to you about it, where are you resisting the Lord? That's an important growth level. Number five, how is your marriage? How are your children? Are you single? How are your families doing, your friends? Do you have conflicts in your life? Do you understand where I'm going with that? Let's just go through that checklist and say, where are we? And if there's a problem, boy, you go fix it. In work, in your career, in school, if you put off, if you procrastinate solving your problem, it'll beat you to death all day long. It'll beat you to death all week long. It'll beat you to death all month long. If you got a problem, go address it. And by the help of the Lord, say, we're going to sit down, we're going to talk, and we're going to ask God to help us repair this. Because life is too short, and the problems are too small in the light of eternity. Isn't that good? All right. Number six. What challenges do you face this week or this month? What's the personal battle that you're having? Is it a health battle? Is it a financial battle? Are you battling anxiety or depression? Are you battling a relationship? Are you worried about something? What is that challenge? What do you face? What you want to do by the help of the Lord is to take this repair kit, the inerrant Word of God, and begin to, you know, it's what's that old saying about the only way to eat an elephant is you just got to start. Grab you an ear or grab you a foot and just start chewing. You can't eat the whole thing at one time, so you just got to take that problem and you begin to dissect it a little bit at a time, a little bit at a time. And that's what you've got to do. And say, God, I'm going to take my repair kit and I'm going to address this situation and I'm going to face this challenge. Number seven, the closing one, is what three things are you most thankful for? I found out that if you'll have a thankful attitude, a heart of gratitude, that it helps even on days of problem, stress, and heartache and bereavement to be thankful. What three things are you thankful for? I try to start my day every day in my personal prayer life. I try to start out thanking God that He's God. You say, that's not a big deal. What if a man was God? What if a woman was God? Huh? Do you understand? What if your teenager was God? You ought to thank God that God's God. Do you understand? We ought to bless His high and holy name of who He is and thank Him that He's God. Number two, we ought to thank Him for what He is. He is a very present help in the time of trouble. He is my shelter and my refuge. He is my physician. He is my healer. He is my sustainer. Do you see that? He is my shepherd. Thank Him for what He is. And it will help you to write down what are you thankful for. The three things that you thank God for. And then every day you thank God. Start out your day. Even if you have a petition of help me with solving a problem, you ought to start out thanking God that He's even there to listen to your problem. He is a very present help. I've got so much to thank Him for. Bethel sisters, why don't you come up and sing for me? I've got so much to thank Him for. I think that'll be a blessing, don't you? Because when we look at the Word of God, we read the Word of God, we see these things, do we not have something to thank Him for? Do we not have something to bless His holy name for? And you know what? You may want to slip out of your chair and come and thank the Lord. You may want to start that thanking process right now. You might want to come and pray. Say, God, I thank You for my family. I thank You for my wife. I thank You for my husband. I thank You for my children. You can start that process of saying, God, I thank You for who You are. God, I thank You for loving us. God, I thank You for Your Son, Jesus. Jesus, I thank You for giving Your life. You understand? And then, God, I thank You for the precious Word. God, I thank You for my church. When's the last time you prayed for the choir members? Well, I stood at the door last week, people shaking hands from Georgia, South Carolina, Tennessee, saying what a blessing the choir was. Well, I didn't realize a lot of churches don't have choirs anymore. And they were just so thrilled to hear this Jubilee choir sing. Amen. We've got a lot to thank Him for. We've got a lot to praise Him for. And we ought to do that today as a family of faith. There's already folks in the altar. You ought to take time today to let Him know you love Him. You thank God for Him. And that today I want to dig out of my rubble. This may be all that's left of your emotions as a brick where there used to be a strong you. Your faith may be tattered as this Bible that was ripped by Hurricane Isabel. But today can be the beginning of digging out by faith, believing God, trusting His Word. You mind the Lord today. You seek His face.